Hey everybody, welcome to the Little Monsters Movie Podcast. Today is going to be great. Talking the burbs. And for all you horror fans, I'm not going to apologize, but we are going somewhat comedy horror again this week. But I promise next week we're going to go horror with Poltergeist. The old one.
Yes.
Since the new one's coming out, we will talk about the old one. And go a little darker next time. So, but
all you guys checking out the Killer Clowns one, thank you. Got a lot of hits on that. Really happy about it.
Yep, awesome, man. And keep looking. It's going to get better and better. But anyways, I had to go with this movie this week because The Burbs is my favorite movie.
I've known this guy almost my whole life. I didn't know that was his favorite movie.
It's my comfort movie. The Burbs, 1989. It's got Tom Hanks, Carrie Fisher, Bruce Dern, Corey Feldman. Corey Feldman. He's probably the most annoying thing about the movie, but that's okay. That's okay. Revolves around it's the Burbs, you know, and what goes on in the Burbs. And I mean, it's somewhat horror, but I mean, it's about these neighbors next door that are just, you know.
Yeah, the creepy neighbors.
Creepy, weird neighbors, which we will get into.
That has no grass. And
no grass or nothing.
Directed by Joe Dante, who did, you know, plenty of horror movies. Did Gremlins, probably, you know, one of our favorite movies. Everybody loves Gremlins.
Speaking of Gremlins, because you say that, at the very beginning of the movie, box of Gremlins cereal is sitting on the back counter when you're in the kitchen.
He did The Howling, which is a cool movie we could do sometime.
And, oh, yeah.
It seems like he's kind of fallen out of favor a little bit. Doesn't really do, like, movies. Mm. He's done, like, TV shows and things like that. He's been really involved in a lot of that stuff. Some online series and things like that. But, I mean, for a while, he was the man. You know, I think that Gremlins 2 movie kind of did him in a little bit. Although I liked it. I mean, I get what he was trying to do. And then he finally came back for that Looney Tunes movie.
Okay.
Back in action. And then, I don't know, I don't think I ever really saw anything he did after that.
Well, you know, that's probably what did him in, was the Looney Tunes movie.
It wasn't horrible. It was, if anybody could have done it, it was Joe Dante. So, it was what it was, but there were good parts in it.
Right.
It was better than Space Jam.
Oh, man. But anyways, getting to The Burbs, right off the bat, I mean, just the opening scene, its sequence just comes, you see the globe.
Yeah, the universal globe, and it
zooms all the way down to their burb, burb.
Their suburb. We never know exactly, I don't think we know exactly where they live.
No, they do show the street, which, oh my God, I can't remember.
Mayfield Place, I think it is.
You know, I've seen this movie 100 times, but I couldn't tell you all the... I'm bad with names, words, and stuff. But anyways, I mean, I know it frame by frame. But anyways, and they zoom right in and opens up with Tom Hanks, Mr. Peterson.
Right, Ray Peterson.
Ray Peterson. He wakes up in the middle of the night because...
There's noise going on.
The crazy neighbors next door to Tom Hanks.
Mr. Peterson. A couple months ago or something?
Yeah. They got this loud sound that wakes him up,
flashing lights,
glowing from the basement. It's just vroom, 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 you know, just going. Right. And, so he comes out, walks over to their dead grass, because everything, there's a line that separates
his grass from theirs, and
their property. It's dead on their side. And when he steps across that line, the wind whips up, and it's like this, he's gone into a different dimension.
It is,
so
cool. He steps over that line, and it's always different. You know?
Exactly.
And he steps back on his grass, and the wind stops.
Yep.
Little details. It's just cool.
Every line, every scene in this movie is great.
Yeah,
if you haven't seen this movie, you gotta watch it.
Or if you haven't watched it, I saw it.
Once a week. I mean,
I think I saw it when it first came out on, you know, VHS, rented it from the corner store, and I don't think I ever saw it again. I didn't dislike it, I just didn't, you know. But I definitely have a better appreciation of it now. I see a lot of the horror elements to it. I didn't know Joe Dante had directed it. You know, when we started talking about it, I realized he made the movie.
But it goes, when he stepped over, he looks across and he sees Bruce Dern's...
Firing up a cigar in the window.
Yeah, Mark...
Lieutenant Mark Rumsfeld.
Yeah, Mark Rumsfeld.
One of the best characters.
Which they only say Mark a couple times in the movie, and if you don't catch it, you don't catch it. The one where he's spraying the hose on the bees are swarming. We'll get to that.
Oh, yeah.
Go, Mark, stop, Mark, I think you got it, Mark, you know, but... Anyways, he's smoking his cigar or something across the street, and he sees Mr. Peterson stepping over and looking at what's going on. But Mr. Peterson never says anything.
Nope.
He keeps to himself.
Everybody in this neighborhood just kind of... I think everybody there was watching this new place, but then they're watching him watch them.
Yeah, they're always looking at all their neighbors.
Then the next morning, it's... I remember the one scene from the trailer. The kid's delivering the newspapers. He throws one, hits Tom Hanks in the chest, and takes his coffee and just
flings it at him. Flings the coffee.
And what's going on in this movie is Tom Hanks is on vacation. And he's taking the kind of vacation that I like to take, a vacation from myself, where I just stay in my pajamas. I stay
just
home.
Chill and
it's a staycation. I like a staycation. I don't like to go anywhere.
Although Carol wants him to go
to the lake,
to the lake.
Cabin,
let's go to the lake house.
And what he says sounds just like me. All that driving and the bugs and it's exactly.
I hear you.
And it's also. Did we see the neighbor? I forgot his name. At the end of the street.
Walter. Well, they pan the camera pans through all the neighbors.
Right.
And
they
get to Mr. Ray's house. Ray Peterson. And Carol, and then they pan over to Walter's house.
Yep.
And Walter's holding the dog, which is Queenie.
His little poodle.
And it's just awesome. When they pan to him, too, if you notice, the music starts up and it goes. So, every little nuance of the film has little tiny things in it, and that's another one where it sounds like a dog. And Queenie goes running to where they pan over to
Rumsfeld's
yard and
drops a deuce.
Queenie drops it.
He's got the dog trained to go over to the neighbor's house to crap.
Yes.
And then the dog comes back, and I don't know if he picks him up. He's like, his yard needed fertilizing anyway.
Yes, his mom needed fertilizing anyway. Yep.
And then we see the Rumsfelds, they come out, and he's a military guy. I love the vest.
He's got
his vest and his boots on and his shorts, his cargo shorts.
Yep. And every morning he's going to put...
With the flag, the flag's all folded. They put the flag up and salute.
And he's got the hot wife,
Oh God!
She comes out in her lingerie.
What's her name in the movie? Bonnie or something like that?
I think so. Yeah, Bonnie.
Yeah, another one.
She comes out with him with lingerie on. I mean, and Corey Feldman's out.
Oh yeah, he lives next door.
He lives next door.
He's gonna paint the house.
And I don't know why he annoys me in this movie, but he really
does. I like him.
He comes, he brings out the cans of paint. He's got stereo set up on the house.
This is like what hung out with in high school. They talked exactly like
that. I guess he's
dude.
Dude, what's going on, man? Get the pizza, dude. What's going on? He's going to paint the house. So he puts the paint cans right up on top of the speaker system. It's going everywhere.
All over his speakers.
Who cares, But and then puts the thing in and it goes, it starts just playing. Just starts playing music. What happens is Rumsfeld puts the flag back and he goes a step back and steps in the Queenie's poop.
Corey Feldman, Ricky tries to tell him, no, Mr. Rumsfeld, don't step back, and splat right in a doggy bomb. And what does he say? Something like, if I catch him doing that, I'm going to staple his ass.
I'm going to staple his ass shut. But then Queenie comes to the window and starts barking at him, and he goes, by God, I'm going to do it right now.
I'm going to do it now.
But Bonnie takes and pulls him away and says, no, you can't do that, But
I'm going to do it now.
Funny scene. By God, I'm going to say
that. It's funny in the movie, but this kind of stuff happens all the time. I got neighbors that have cats, and they come in my yard. Or get up on my furniture, my yard furniture. So, what are you going to do? And people do. They get really intensely angry about that stuff. There's nothing else going on in the suburbs, and you get so fed up and angry about that.
Heck yeah.
So,
what you were saying about Ricky's...
The house. Yeah, I always like to have a little tidbit for everybody out there. And maybe a lot of you knew it already, but when I heard about it, I checked it on a couple sites. It turns out to be true. This whole movie And I guess I'll say now, one of the things I really like about this movie is it never leaves the suburbs. No. Never leave
that little area.
They never go to like a store or the city or the lake or anything. It all takes place in this small little like six house area.
Yeah.
And you know, all they ever do is go across the street to each other's homes. So I kind of like that. But a lot of these, you know, this was filmed on a back lot that a lot of shows, Dragnet, a lot of, you know, movies were made on these. But the house that Ricky lives in was the Munsters' house. And I guess because it's such an iconic house, they never show it right from the front.
Yeah.
Because everybody would know. You know, I mean, if you grew up in that time, you know the Munsters. I watched the Munsters. Right. And
so if you'd seen the front of it, you would know it
was the Munsters' house. Which might have, in a way, been cool.
Yeah, but, I think so, but I understand.
But it was the Munsters' house.
So they just show this little, yeah, the
I like to have something for you guys every time. So that's my little tidbit.
And by the way, he's wearing a No Ma'am shirt.
You guys like Married with Children? No Ma'am.
So, yeah.
Come on. Hate!
Women haters call it.
High sign.
Oh, man. That's great. But anyways, yeah, so Ray and Carol's just, you know,
in arguing in the kitchen. She wants him to do something.
Yeah, making breakfast vacation and stuff like that.
And he kind of says, this is what I need. I just need to sit around the house and do nothing. My dream vacation. I think he says, you know, I'll fix the barbecue in the back. I'll do that for you.
Right.
Just, you know, because the guy's always got to have, like, one little project while he's on vacation for a couple weeks. One little project. And that's when we see the Gremlin cereal on the kitchen counter.
Yeah, that's the word.
Which I noticed right away when I watched it, because, you know, Joe Dante, put his own thing in there. And there's a lot of musical cues in this movie, too. A lot of music things.
That's awesome about it, too. Yeah, definitely.
Like, I remember just, because I think this is Joe Dante's thing, in that Looney Tunes Back in Action movie, I remember when they get into Brendan Fraser's car, at first, it's a Gremlin. And when they get in there, you get that do 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 Gremlins music as they're driving away. So I mean, just I think that's kind of his thing that he likes to do. He likes to put little in jokes in his movies. So this one's got tons of them. Especially if you like movies and things like that. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is almost like a Rear Window kind of you know, inspired type movie. And I guess when we get up to where we meet Art.
They hear a gun go off.
Oh, that's right.
And they go, uh-oh, Art's got a gun.
Yeah, Art's got a gun. And what was he? He's trying to shoot a crow?
Oh, yeah,
a
raven? Crows, yeah.
Crows. They were getting in his wife's garden.
He says they're getting, they're bigger than bird feeders.
But what I like is when you finally see him come out with the gun, he's got bushes all over.
Oh, yeah.
The dog's running next to him and barking. Not paying it any
Not sneaking up on him very well, but the crows. But he shoots and nearly misses Ray's head by inches.
Right.
He shoots the front porch light.
And no, he doesn't even yell at him about it. Right?
No, he's not mad at him. He actually brings him in and they're enjoying breakfast together.
The dude raids his refrigerator.
Oh my God.
He pulls out a pineapple. He just opens up. He's eating cold ribs. I mean, huge ribs.
Their dinners from last night. I mean, just he's piling it on.
Yeah, no one says anything. He's having pancakes. He's you know, you going to eat those eggs? And
Carol's feeding the dog, and she walks by him and even takes some of that. and he makes a face like, what's this? You know what I mean? But yet, and then it just passes. But I mean,
what's Ray's son's name? Because he comes into this, and this is where we start learning. Because they're talking about the neighbors.
Yeah.
You know, what he heard last night, what Ray heard last night.
Yeah.
And the son comes over there and says, you know, that he saw them.
He says, Ricky Butler,
Feldman told him that he saw them digging in the backyard.
And Art says, kind of like grave diggers.
Could be.
Yeah.
Will you stop filling my kid's head full of nonsense? And
So this is our
turns out it ain't such nonsense.
Yeah, that's our hint of getting to, like, there's something fishy going on.
Or how
with
people
these
just talk in the neighborhood, you know?
Yeah.
And, probably like, I don't know, just because I'm a pervert. I think one of the best parts is the next scene there, the Rumsfelds are working out in their yard, and Miss Rumsfeld's all, you know, on all fours, digging in there, and Ricky just comes over and says, hey, right. Mrs. Rumsfeld, not a single tan line today. Looks good.
Nice tan line.
I mean, if that was my wife and someone said, I'd kill him. And she's just smiling. She knows what's up.
Oh, I think he likes the fact that he's got a hot looking wife like that. So I think that's the point.
He just seems like such a hothead.
Although he goes, Rumsfeld goes, that Ricky Butler's a meatball.
Yeah, he's a meatball.
So yeah, and Yeah, then what does Art and Ray just talking? Yeah, they're just lounging around.
Yeah, Rumsfeld's across the street. You know what I saw last night? I saw Ray going over to their yard and look. I mean, just I just like how everyone's
talking
about everybody else.
Didn't do a darn thing.
Yeah, that's what he said. You know, he didn't do a darn thing. Oh, you want to see my new tools?
Yeah.
That's one of the few parts I remember of the movie from the first time I saw it.
Mm-hmm.
I remember Red Rover let Ray go over and looking at the toolbox.
Oh, God.
Yeah. The dumbest things.
Hey, whatever, yeah, sticks in your mind.
So, yeah, they're thinking about going there and checking things out. You know, go looking. Doesn't one of them pop his head out?
Yeah, one of the youngest redhead kid, you know, Klopek, peeks his head out and goes and gets the mail.
We find out later his name is Hans. That's right, he goes out to get the mail.
Hans.
And when I saw that kid...
What a fine Christian name.
Right.
But they say that later on when they...
When I saw this ginger, I knew I'd seen him somewhere before. I didn't recognize, you know. And then I remember he played Malachi in Children of the Corn.
Right. He was in a few 80s movies. Yeah.
So that's the movie I remember him in.
Yeah, you'll know him when you see him.
We're not going to review that movie, though.
No, we won't do that.
A lot of Stephen King movies are horrible.
Oh, God.
Yeah. They are. The guy is very forthgiving with leasing out his movies, you know, his books for movies, but most of them stink.
Oh.
And I like that the one that's pretty much universally considered the best, which is this one right here, Shining. He hated it.
Yeah, Stephen King's something with what he does, all the people crap, love, and the stuff he loves, people hate.
What the crap that people have done to your books, and you hate this one? The best one that ever got made.
Funny, though.
Whatever.
Yeah, I hear you.
You know, Stanley. But you can't top Stanley.
No. But this is where we get the they're trying to get to Ray's.
Yeah, they're like coaxing each other to talk to him.
Yeah, go on. It's your neighbor. Yeah,
you live across from him.
Yeah, he's your neighbor too.
You share a property line with him. You go talk to him. My kids.
Yeah,
you know, you go. I dare you. You go talk to him.
Yeah, so they walk right up to the like front sidewalk and. Right. And
how uncomfortable. I mean, he's just standing there. They're just standing there staring at the poor kid.
Oh, yeah.
And he looks like he's Amish or something. He's got the pork chops and, you know, the shirt and the suspenders. And, he's like, you better talk to him. He's going back in. You're not going to make it.
Rumsfeld's laughing. He's like, they're daring each other to go to knock on the door.
The whole neighborhood's like, Ricky, his son. Yeah, because he even says it. Look, you did that.
You look like an idiot in front of your son.
You look like an idiot in front of your son.
And that's when he turns around and he pulls him and he says they start going to the front door.
Right.
And
I heard it.
The funny part is when he pulls his gum out of his mouth, throws it down on the ground, and you can hear it go... You can hear it splat on the ground. It's a piece of gum. But that's just the little thing that just makes the movie awesome.
There was one thing you told me about. I made sure to listen for that. Like,
yep. Oh, my God. That was great. And they go charging to the door.
And this part's actually very funny when they go to the door.
Oh, my gosh.
And, they knock on the knocker. And the address is 669 Mayfield Place. And when they knock, the 9 flips over, turns into a 6.
And all the bees come swarming out.
Well, he steps on the porch, and I think it was Art. His foot goes into the porch.
Yeah. He says, "I'm not paying for that."
He was like, "Well, you shouldn't have to pay for that. We should sue him." And I think it almost starts getting like some.
This is when they get a close up of Queenie's eyes.
Doesn't he start playing some of that Sergio Leone kind of music?
Yeah,
and you know,
as they're walking,
and this happens later
on
too, because you get the close ups of everybody. So it's a little shout out to. Like, you know, Good, the Bad, the Ugly, and something like that. One of my favorites, so I got that.
Yeah.
So they knock on the door, and then what do they do? How did the bees show up? I can't remember.
The it turns to 666, and it makes a little hole, and they all come flying out.
Okay, and
then
they knock again. I think the whole thing just falls off.
Yeah.
That's right. And then, just bees.
That's right, yeah.
Honey bees just pouring out.
Yeah.
And they're running like
crazy. This is a great part of the movie, too.
And you know, I gotta remember, you know, Tom Hanks used to be I'm not saying he's not funny now. But he used to be really funny. He used to play a lot of comedic roles. And, you know, then he got into the dramatic roles. And he's good at that, too. But I think you just kind of forget how funny he was. Physically funny.
He was good.
And, you know, I think he just brought out the best in everybody that was in those movies. Because he was pretty much, he was on his way up, you know, by the time he did this movie. You know, I think he got nominated for an Oscar for Big, maybe. Or, you know, that movie kind of, you know, got him out there.
Right.
And yeah, so Mark Rumsfeld, he's got his host. He's like, come to Mark, you know, to the water, come to the water.
They're all swarming all over him. He comes, come to water, come to me.
You know? And they're down there's Ricky Butler. Yeah, go, Mr. Peterson, go, yeah. Dude.
It's always
his son's out there watching all this.
It's always that group of people that are all just, and you don't see anybody else.
Really no other neighbor. Nobody.
Till the end of the movie, really. But yeah, nobody. And he hoses all the bees off, and Art's got one
in his mouth,
and he spits it out too. Yeah, they had to hurt. But yeah,
I mean, it is funny. It's physically funny.
Very hilarious.
And this is kind of where they all start. You know, they're all going to start talking about it now.
So they're looking at the house and it's back. You know, backing up and stuff.
So even though kind of Rumsfeld was making fun of them a bit before, now they're all kind of in on it, and you know, they're all just standing there looking at that house, wondering what's going on inside. And,
yeah.
And this is where the fun ensues. You know, where all the big theories come out and everything. Yeah. And so what is it? Tom Hanks, he goes over to Art's, right? And
he goes to walk
his
dog.
He's like 15. He's got a beer. He's drinking it. And
he goes walk the dog. He tells Carol, "I'm walking the dog."
Right,
and
just so he can smoke
a cigar. And Art hollers over, "Hey, you with the dog? Get that mud off my lawn!"
Yeah, they do a lot of that, like trying to scare Tom Hanks' character in this, and it is good. And then there's even another part towards this kind of part of the movie that we're talking about, where isn't this where Art starts talking about the big murder that happened a long time ago?
Oh yeah,
like the soda jerk guy.
Yeah.
Went nuts and killed his family.
Yeah,
what do you say, like in the 30s or something, or maybe in the 50s?
Right.
Or something
he had an ice cream shop and. Yep.
And just everybody noticed a smell in the neighborhood, and it turned out that he ice picked his family and
left them all rotting there in the summer heat.
In the summer heat,
yeah, it's decomposing in the summer heat.
Yeah, you know what the smell was? His family's decomposing.
So yeah, and
so that gets their imaginations going. You know what's going on in this house, and it is funny. You're right. You know,
and then they go walking at the Klopek's house, too, mm-hmm. as they're saying this, and Ricky Butler kind of scares mm-hmm. Ray's character, and he goes, sorry, Mr. Peterson, didn't mean it, you know, and he goes, what are you saying you're sorry for, you know, and he goes, jump a little farther, Spud Webb, he tells him, there's just so many good lines in this, man, it's awesome.
When do we see doesn't the garbage scene come up where he's back in the car, does that happen here?
That happens, after his girlfriend comes.
Oh, okay.
The next.
So he knows this movie better than I do. So I'm just kind of, I'm along for the ride a little bit today. I know I usually do a lot of the talking. So, but I definitely don't know this film as well.
Well, later on, he's raised watching Jeopardy with Carol.
Oh, that's right. And I do love it. Art goes like, he's in the back. He doesn't go to the door. He's
knocking on the window as they're watching.
Ray! You know, like kids do.
And he goes, ducks down, and, you know, and she's, he goes, oh, I'll be right back, you know.
Yeah, so they're...
But yet they're conspiring. There's a big, you know, they're going to go see what's going on at the Klopex.
Yeah,
you know?
Doesn't he have, like, is this when he has the infrared lens? Yeah, Rumsfeld brings it up. And Corey Feldman, he's got his girlfriend.
Ricky Butler's sitting on the front porch. And
his girlfriend wants to go to a movie. He's like, why do you want to go to a movie?
It's this so is way better than that.
This is real. And he's wearing this really cool black 80s
Michael Jackson leather jacket.
Studs all over it, real metal. And
yeah.
I think I ought to have that jacket.
Yeah, I think everybody had. But he convinces his girlfriend to sit down and watch the goings on. So he's telling him the names. That's Mr. Peterson, you know.
Right, tells him what they're all going to do.
Skeptic, and you know. Mm-hmm. So they all both go in front of a house, in front of Art's house. And mm-hmm. Then Mark Rumsfeld comes... joins him, and he's got an infrared scope. he's like, what do you got there?
They're not really hiding. They're hiding behind some garbage cans.
Yeah.
They're not really, like, got a lot of cover.
It's like, what's that for? That's just... Get
snipers used it in NAM.
Yeah. Snipers use it for night vision. What are we going to use it for? I say we go get a look in those board-up basement windows. But, it's great, man. Yeah. And, yeah, what happens is Hans,
who the young kid that we saw before, come get the mail.
The red-haired ginger,
he drives his car out of the garage, and they've got this old jalopy, makes a lot of noise when it comes down the street, and he drives it slowly to the curb, and...
Well, what happens right before that is the big boiler thing.
The house lights up again.
Yeah, the basement just lights up this huge sound.
Right,
and
that's right.
And they're
that's
like going, right. What the heck is this? This
yeah,
is crazy.
He got a transformer down there?
Yeah. So, and then that's when, you know, they hear the garage door starts
that's
opening
it. And then he's, the car's coming slowly in. And he pulls what looks like almost like a body in a bag kind of thing. And he puts it in the garbage. But he doesn't just put it in the garbage. He takes, like, what does he take? Like a hoe or a shovel or something?
Yeah. The funny
thing is, he's bashing it in there.
Yeah, the strange thing about this is he creeps out with the car to the street. And then, yeah, carries this lumpy, big, like there could be a black
body. And he's just looking around.
You know? I mean, it is the oddest scene, which they end up saying anyways. They're like, I've never seen that before.
I've never seen
somebody drive their garbage down to the end of the drive.
Beating the heck out of it.
I've never seen that before. Yeah.
I've never seen anybody do that before.
Lightning's crashing it. Yeah. Pounding it in the garbage can. And
so, you know, they're convinced. They want to go right over there and look at that garbage, but then
it starts raining.
Yeah, and it's like, you know, well, at first light, we're going to go out there and check out that garbage.
Yeah. And
Rumson, now, see, goes, I would do it in the cover of darkness.
Exactly.
But in first light, we're going to go and rip their garbage open.
Yeah. Scope me.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, Rumson goes, scope me. And he heads back. That garbage is that garbage is going nowhere. So, yeah. That's the next morning.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens? Ricky, what's their son's name? The little kid. I forget his name.
I can't remember.
But anyways, he comes telling Ray that Art and Rumsfeld's going through the garbage.
Art's in the garbage truck,
and he goes.
Yeah, first
but he's arguing with Carol
because
of all what this going on. He still wants to go up to the lake house and stuff like that. And he goes just booking out of the house. He goes what? And he goes booking out of the house and joining them and saying,
"Yeah, Art's out there. They're all in their robes, and he, they're at that Klopek's house." Dumping their garbage.
Oh, yeah, in front of the hearse.
And he starts with it out. Did you put a big one in there? Look kind of juicy or what? And I love how one of the garbage men, if you remember Gremlins, is Mr. Futterman. The old guy that was always suspicious about the gremlins in your watches. And drove the Kentucky Harvester.
But yeah, they're beating.
And then Rumsfeld, he jumps in there too, and they're ripping the garbage out and going. They go through
Rumsfeld's every bag of garbage. Rumsfeld's half shaved.
That's right, yeah.
Only half of his face is done. He's in his boxers and his robe.
Yeah,
and he gets pissed at the one guy and goes, this needs cleaned up. Who's going to clean it up? He goes, who's going to clean it up? Well, you're going to clean it up, mister, because you're a garbage man.
And I got to say, one of the funniest things in this movie is that they don't clean it up. And for the rest of the movie, that big
garbage is sitting there.
Nobody picks it up. Cars driving through. I kept watching the movie, but that garbage is still there.
Because technically, the Klopek should come out and clean it. It's in front of their office. But yeah, it stays
it's
there.
It's a huge pile of trash.
They just keep plowing over.
But these are the guys that jumped in the garbage truck and started, Christ knows what's in there. And they're ripping it all out. And then they find nothing. They're like,
they're conspiring. They're saying they must have taken it out. They must have seen us, you know.
Which is why you should have did it under cover of darkness.
Exactly. So they just think that they took it back because they were seen and stuff like that.
Right.
And that's where they say, well, you know what? Ray saw him. He goes, I saw them digging holes in the backyard in the storm.
That's right. Because he looked out the window the night before and saw three shadowy characters.
Oh, yeah.
What looked like grave-sized holes?
Something like like graves, you know. And then Bonnie, Rumsfeld's wife, comes walking over with the little poodle, Queenie.
Yeah, Queenie, who's
all dirty and everything like that.
Right, and you know that Walter would never let anything bad happen to this little poodle. You can tell he's very one of those people that are very devoted to their dog.
Yes.
And
so they're just conspiring some more.
Something
must
have happened to Walter.
That must have been Walter who was in the garbage can. So they must have hurried, killed Walter.
Let's go get inside Walter's house.
So they all go. Yeah, they all go combined together and go over.
So they're trying to, look in his windows. I think I see somebody moving in. The door opens. It's Rumsfeld. He's got like a suction cup with a pane of glass on. He's like, like a real soldier. He knows how to do
it. Oh, yeah. He broke it. A soldier's way saves the day.
A soldier's way saves the day. And they're right. There is some telltale signs of what could have been a struggle. The television's still on. Yep. Chairs turned over.
Yeah, somebody left here in a big hurry.
Right.
Yeah.
And I love how Art, he picks something. They're convinced he's dead. Right. He picks something up he's going to put in his pocket. Will you please not steal from the man? Oh, he's never going to need it again.
All this stuff's going to end up at a flea market anyways.
Rip him off. But they get into the kitchen. Bonnie goes to take the dog into the kitchen to give him some food, and then she screams. And I think she says, like, a rat. There's a rat.
Well, she screams, and Ray and Mark come running in and going, they go, bingo! Mm-hmm. And they go running through the door, like, oh, my God, they found, Bonnie found something, you know. And,
right.
Here it's just the old man's wig.
Right.
Sitting on
his toupee, which, again, he probably wouldn't have just ran out of the house.
Exactly. But, that's one thing with these old guys. They never leave their house without their hair.
Yes. Yeah. And then another part that I really like, of course, Ray goes in the refrigerator. And he's got a plate or something. He's just holding it there.
He goes, I'm hungry.
Yeah. And there's like one of those kitchen, you know, back and forth doors.
Swinging.
And Ricky just slams it open. The whole plate shatters. But it's just like the timing is perfect. Oh, I'm starving.
And the plate. He's still holding the plate, too.
The whole plate shatters.
So, yeah, it's like almost like a cartoon.
Right.
Like, the whole plate shatters, but he's still holding it there at the end. I mean, it's funny as heck.
And, you know, they kind of clear out. They don't know what happened to Walter. They suspect.
That's what Ray says. Let's get out of here. We shouldn't be going through the old guy's home anyway.
Right, just breaking and entering. Breaking into our neighbor's house. And
so Ray says he'll leave a note. Mm-hmm. You know,
and he'll have the dog,
which is meaningful for later in the movie too.
Right.
So him writing this note has some meaning later.
So he puts the note in the mailbox and the toupee. Which you got to remember, he takes the toupee,
puts it through the slot.
Into the slot.
And his note says, you know, simply. Walter, dog. I have your dog.
And that's it. So he wrote a couple of them. I can't remember what he wrote on the first
one. A couple nice ones, and then he just plain puts
I have your dog.
Yeah, I have your dog.
Right?
No, like a ransom note or something like that.
And then probably the only other part of the movie that I remember is they're down in the basement, Ray and
Art.
And he's looking at some book on demonology.
Yes, and like an 1800s book or something. I don't know where he had it, forgot it from. But.
And Art's just trying to fill his head full of all this stuff, and, you know, human sacrifices and skinning and all this stuff. And I just remember
Mutilations! He's telling him all kinds of things.
And I remember Tom Hanks just putting his fingers in his ear. I'm not listening.
He's going, yeah, here's Satan. Yeah. Satan is
I want
pal.
To kill everyone. Satan is good. Satan's my pal.
Oh, that's great.
I want to kill everyone.
You know what you're doing, Ray. You're chanting. See? Right here.
So
show him in the book.
So Ray is still kind of the skeptic. Just doesn't want to believe this is going on in his neighborhood.
And he starts telling Ray that he can get his mm-hmm. uncle or somebody's a priest, and he can get
us a deal.
Yeah, big, giant amounts of holy water and stuff
like
that.
We gotta get to the religious supply store. We gotta get crosses, holy water. Those grocery store. We gotta get those big strands of garlic.
like they're monsters. Like, they're not killers. They're monsters.
This is like the adult monster squad. And they're ready to go in.
You gotta understand, Art is just like a big kid.
Yeah.
Which later on, there's a scene that's just hilarious mm-hmm. that we'll talk about.
And I like at the beginning, he says his wife is where did she go to visit her sisters or her mother or something? And I just remember him saying something like, why didn't you go? He's like, I'd rather eat broken glass than go over
there. He'd rather be home, yeah. Right. And Ray has a very bad nightmare that night, too.
Yes, he's watching TV, and all these horror movies are
out. Oh, yeah, every channel. It's the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, Exorcist.
Yeah, Texas Chainsaw 2, I think. Exorcist is on. I can't remember what the first one was, but it was like some kind of devil-worshipping movie. And then he just has a dream that he's laid out on that table and they're
in a big barbecue.
Right, that's right, a big barbecue.
And the guy who killed his family with the ice cream shop.
Right.
Art plays him, and he comes running in. Ooh, who ordered a bloodshake?
Yeah, bloodshake.
And the guy who comes out with the big thing and goes, is the Klopik, who mm-hmm. we'll know is the main character over there, the real grumpy guy.
Ruben.
Yeah.
Ruben.
And he comes, mind your own business! And he comes down and just, and that's when he wakes up. And, Caroline.
What
there,
a dream.
Of course.
What a dream.
Oh. Well, and then the chainsaw comes through the door. So
right. It's like one of those dreams where you wake up and you think you're awake, but then, you know, big chainsaws coming through the wall. And
yeah.
So it's, you know, I've never had a dream like that. I mean, they're always in movies, but I've never had a dream where I woke up, thought the dream was over, and the dream is still going.
Me neither.
Does anybody have a dream like that? I don't.
A dream within a dream within a dream.
I don't. My dreams are stupid. No. When I remember them, they're mostly just stupid. No. Yeah, so he kind of wakes up that next morning and he just looks like he hasn't slept a wink.
The first thing is, it's a beautiful day in the neighborhood.
Oh, he's watching Mr. Rogers.
He's drinking his orange juice. He's had a terrible night. But, yeah.
This poor guy.
Yes, this movie is just great, Ted, man. I mean, yeah, then, he's just chilling out in the backyard.
Yeah,
right?
He's on his lawn chair. He's got his sunglasses on. He's got like 8 cans of beer sitting over there. And then Ray comes over and disturbs him. I just like this. I'm trying
to
see.
Well, Art and Mark.
Oh, yeah.
Goes to, they take a note. Mm-hmm. And they write a note and put it under the...
It says, we know what you did.
We know what you did.
It doesn't say anything else.
Yeah. It's not signed or nothing. And they slip it under the thing, and they're daring each other, too. Mm-hmm. To ring the doorbell. Yeah.
So then he goes over to... And you see the dog kind of like digging by the fence. You know, it's just dog doing a dog thing. Yeah. But they go in and tell Ray what he did, and he gets really ticked off because someone was looking out the window. You couldn't tell who it was at the Klopek's house when he was writing the note that, you know, I have your dog, and slipped it into the mail sign. He's like, they're going to think I did it because they saw me doing the other note. And then he's taking the beer cans and smashing them on his head and throwing everything.
That make you feel better. Carol comes out. You know. Yep. But the dog brings over the giant...
Femur bone. And they don't even think of anything. You know, I think Art's just holding it for a little while.
He throws it, and the dog goes fetch it.
And then he brings it back and, like, do you know what this is? And it's a bone. You know, this is a femur.
It's a femur bone. A femur bone just happens to be a human thigh bone, Ray.
Yes. It's a crappy looking bone, but for the effects department, it's got all this gunk and stuff on it. But it looks like an old bone, and they're just sitting there holding it. And
they said, "Where'd that come from?" Mm-hmm. They look over and pan over, and then they see where the dog dug it up.
Fence.
And then they start seeing the shadow of Reuben walking.
Right, and he takes the little note
and tosses it over.
Yep, just
and Art's going. He's just a litter bug. That's all. It's just a little piece of paper. It's our note. It's our note. Mm-hmm. And that's when he gets mad. And all that, rushes to the door, and so they all figure they're going to go over there. Like, that's enough of this,
right? His wife Carol, just Carrie Fisher. You know, in this movie, she still looked good, man.
She did. Fisher was. This before the drinking started.
I don't know. Well, I think we know she was doing some coke around this time.
Yeah, that too.
Even in Return of the Jedi, you can see a scene where they're on that Imperial cruiser that they stole to get on the forest moon.
Yeah.
You can see her little coke nail there.
Oh, my gosh.
She's got one long nail on her hand.
Really?
Coke nail.
Ugh.
But, man, I miss the Carrie Fisher that looked like this, man. She's smoking hot.
Yeah, and, what are you going to do? And this is the great part where
they go to
the place and they make brownies.
Oh, doesn't he drop them? Because Rumsfeld's holding.
Oh, yeah, they're marching over. He's kind of got his.
Yeah, Art's not in on this. This is just.
Oh, yeah, the wives made Art stay home because his wife isn't there.
The Petersons and the Rumsfelds, they go over there.
Yeah.
And, yeah, that creepy guy, Malachi from Children of Corn, is looking out the window and goes, who is it? You know? And
it's us. It's your neighbors.
Right.
And this is where Rumsfeld
puts another hole in the porch.
Yeah,
all the brownies fall.
He goes, oh, dang it! and all the they're going to darn brownies.
They're going to damn brownies.
But he picks them all up anyways. Puts them on a plate. He goes, here you go. And they all walk in. They just march in and barge right in.
Bruce Dern is great. I don't know.
He goes, here's something for the old sweet tooth.
Yep. His face just reminds me of Alice Cooper.
Who's that? Bruce Dern?
Yeah, look at his face. It kind of reminds me of, like, looks like they could almost be related, him and Alice Cooper. So, yeah, they go to
see that.
And the house is kind of spooky. It looks like it's hardly even moved in.
Yeah, an old looking house. Boxes. The box is still everywhere and stuff.
Yeah, it's just musty and grody. And I like when they see the, I don't know if it was Ray or if it was Mark who says, they pick up a picture frame. Oh, she's pretty.
Rumsfeld says that.
Yeah, and Hans, he just said, it came with the frame.
Mark goes, is that your girlfriend? He goes, no, it came with the frame.
Yeah, it came with the frame.
Yeah, he's agitating. Rumsfeld in this house is just great.
I mean, and there's another part when they're all kind of sitting around having the brownies and they're having that uncomfortable silence. Rumsfeld's just standing in the corner.
Oh, he's peeling tape off just the wall.
Ripping the wallpaper.
And he's going farther and farther up the wall.
He doesn't stop when it starts tearing. Rip.
He's tearing the whole house apart. He doesn't care.
For no reason.
He's knocking on the pipe.
I laughed my ass off when he did
that. Oh, but this is where Reuben comes into.
Yeah, kind of like there's three people living in this house. There's Hans, the young kid. There's Reuben, who's kind of like the fish frog face grumpy one.
And his brother,
the doctor. Dr. Klopek.
Yes. Herr Klopek.
Right.
Yes.
But while they're in the house, you know, Art's not satisfied just sitting by.
Oh, no.
You know, he's getting a ladder. He's climbing over. He's going to, he's doing his reconnaissance.
Oh, yeah. He's checking the whole back of the house out, checking mm-hmm. it out. He put the ladder. Ricky Butler throws the shovels over, hits him in the head, right. You know.
He's got his black paint on his face. And, yeah. I mean, it's broad daylight. I don't know where he's going to hide.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he goes all out. He's a kid. I mean,
right. Right.
And meanwhile, they're all in the house, and they bring hors d'oeuvres for
for
Raina. It's sardines and pretzels.
And all the women just take a pretzel, or they're like, no, I'm trying to cut down.
But Carol coaxes, because Ray did not want to have a sardine.
Right.
She goes, you know, nudges her head and says, take one.
And I
can hear this?
It's exactly what I was going to say. Yeah. When he's sticking his finger
it's going
in the sardine, it's all that slurpy,
slimy,
jelly kind
of. Oh.
And these are big. These sardines are actually kind of big, and he puts it on the pretzel.
He puts it in his mouth, and you can hear it chopping in there. And it's going... I mean, it's disgusting as heck.
It would drive my wife nuts, man, because she hates the sound of people chewing.
Oh, my God, yes. But it's just so disgusting.
Right,
you know?
They just focus on him for so long.
And meanwhile, Mark Rumsfeld's, he's doing his recon of the house.
He rips the paler.
Yeah, but he's doing everything. He's checking everything
around
out.
Where the vents go, where the heating ducts go, what's going where. And
but that sardine and that pretzel, Ray starts gagging on it.
Yeah, yeah. Oh,
yeah. Oh. Some weird, wacky sound.
Something Tom Hanks was funny.
Like
yeah.
Something was in his throat, and he finally just and honkers it and spits it out into some old newspaper.
Right.
And he tells packing, him he tells him just packing dust. And that's when Rumsfeld too. He kicks. He's knocking on stuff, doing mm-hmm. and he kicks twice on the floor.
And then you hear
two big booms back, and he goes, "Who's that? That's brother down there
in
the basement."
Brother down in the basement.
And
we better go check it out.
Ruben goes, "Ah, who knows?" He said every word he says is funny as heck, Ruben. But
mind your own business.
Yes.
And what's Art doing, man? Is he still screwing around in the back?
He's still looking around the back and stuff. And he tells him, when they ask him, is that your brother? He goes, why don't you ask him yourself? And then he nods over to him. And he starts walking up the steps and walking. You see the big shadow.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's boom, boom, boom. And the shadow gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And his brother does appear,
mm-hmm.
and he's just this tiny little old man.
Right, it's a little
and,
guy.
And he's got latex gloves on, like mm-hmm. a doctor's like thing, you know. And he shakes Ray's hand, and it's mm-hmm. all red. And the music goes boom, boom, boom.
Right. Turns out to be paint.
It's red paint.
He's a painter. He's doing his art.
So he's,
so
I mean,
told.
Yeah, but. Another great one. I mean, just the entrance of his brother, the doctor, is just a great scene. And Art's in the back. He's digging through like the basement. You know, the little mm-hmm. things that you know go into. And he finds a comb and he goes, and he saves it. He puts it in his back pocket.
Oh yeah, like
he's gonna comb his hair for
him. Yeah,
he's just a hard comb. He goes, I'll keep that. You know, and stuff. And meanwhile, they're sitting there having tea and stuff.
Oh, with the painting.
Well, not just the painting. All the girls are around the table, and the mm-hmm. they light candles for them. And there's a thousand...
Yeah.
It looked like a torch in the middle of the table.
Right.
Just burning flames.
I like how Rumsfeld's just taking all the painting. He's looking at
it. Yeah, it's this weird
turning him over.
Yeah, he's like, which
they're
side
not his. hanging them the other way. Because the doctor comes and he puts it back together.
You can't tell which way it is, right. Which way is up. And you can if you really look at it. It's right. Like a surgeon, you know, but, working on it.
He's purposely creepy. I mean, there's no way you could, this guy would not make you uncomfortable. I mean, he's got his little thing. You think it looks like a little jar of poison. Sugar substitute.
Yeah, yes, sure. Everybody, for sugar substitute.
You know, you don't know what this... Oh, no, I would not be going in this house.
So, oh, my God, yeah, it is. They're very creepy and everything.
And it kind of reminds me of one of my favorite movies, Monster Squad. You know, there's always scary German guy. And that's one we'll have to touch on someday, you know, because there was the scary German guy,
mm-hmm.
you know, and he turns out to be a good guy in the end, but...
Here's Carol and Bonnie are sitting next to the younger Hans. Ginger Hans. And they go, it must be so lonely being here and moving from place with it. And they touch his shoulder, and he's, oh, he jumps sky high.
That's right.
Because, oh, my God, a girl touched me. Oh, my God. You know, it's just, yeah, it's so funny.
Right, and he mentions, the doctor mentions that they very likely will have to move again soon. And
yeah.
Like, oh, not after we just started getting to know you.
Yeah.
You can't get out fast enough. Because they even mention that the previous neighbors that lived in that house, the Knapps,
that's, you know, and that plays a big part in the movie,
right,
too.
We'll hear about them later on. But, like, you know, they never talked to anybody. They didn't bother anybody. It's like, they didn't even say goodbye when they left.
They didn't even see a moving van out front.
Oh, well, he said that. Yeah, he's like, where was... And the Ruben says, it was there all day!
You know? Yes!
Yeah. And Tom Hanks, he's just kind of wandering around. He opens up a little door by the steps.
He spills the hot coffee on himself, too.
That's
and
right.
He goes, oh, my... You know, so he's got to go run.
Looking for a towel or something.
Yeah.
And it just, like, what is it? A Great Dane just jumps out of there.
Well, but Mark confronts him here, though, before he runs to the bathroom and all that. And he says, you know, he goes, what do you got in the cellar? Hair, Klompek. And as he says, hair, Klompek, he's looking at his hair.
Yeah.
And I'm like going, it's just, it
feels
so great.
I know a couple of
them
say about their last name, Klompek. What is that, Slovak?
No. He just goes, no.
He doesn't tell him what it is. No.
And that's when, the Great Dane comes barging out the door, rushes out the backyard, chases Art over the fence again. Ah!
Knocks it, because Art's trying to get out of the yard.
And they're wondering who
and
that
they've
is.
Got burglar alarms, bright lights, trip wires. I mean, it's wired.
It's an old house, but yet they got it
set up, they got it ready. You know, no one can get in. So they all kind of leave in a hurry.
They said, who's that, your friend? They go. He goes, a fat one.
I mean, they'll kind of like get back at the house, Art and Rumsfeld and Pearsons, and the women are pretty convinced that these guys were just being jerks. They shouldn't have acted like this towards their neighbors. They're
There's
just
nothing
different.
Wrong. Exactly.
And they ask Tom Hanks' character, Ray, what he thinks, and in front of the women, he says, I think they're clean.
Yeah.
And, He goes,
I agree with them. I think I agree. And they start acting like two little children. You know, they're going, oh, so you're siding with the girls, right?
Yep.
I mean, And
he's like, can I just, you know, talk to the guys for just a minute or two? And they go into his den, and then the truth comes out. He reaches into his pants.
He pulls the old man's wig out of his shorts. And what's funny? But you know what's funny? Right before that. Okay, when he does take them in that room, Art is, they're like all three little kids. They're like playing with instruments that Ray's got in his room.
Yeah.
Like big old scope comes out
telescope.
And it hurts his finger and stuff. They're just big kids.
They are so funny. They are.
But yeah, he pulls the wig out of his shorts.
You had that in your pants the whole time?
You had that in your pants all day? Because they thought he took it and stuck it in. And he goes, no. I got it over next door.
When the door opened and he got surprised and fell down, he's like, I found it in there.
With the mail and all the other stuff.
So
they go, well, what do you, so they know that Ray believes them now and he's with them. So all three of them, this is where they get together and they got it. And he goes, nobody bumps off an old man in my neighborhood and gets away with it.
Right.
And that's when they get a close-up of Tom Hanks' eyes, which look very much like he's either been sleeping for 10 hours.
Got
a very bad cold or something.
Just got that moment of clarity.
They're swollen and stuff. But they heard that they were leaving the next morning. So this
going
was
to the
their
Universal
chance
for something for the day,
or
something like that. I think, right? So that's their chance to get into the house, get into the yard, find out. I mean, he said, "I'm not coming out of that house till I have evidence, till I have Walt's body." You know, so And I love it. They're all psyched up.
They're psyched up. They're on a military mission, especially
right. Roosevelt's got the whole thing planned out. He's got his equipment. He's got his radios. And
Ray's sending Carol off with the little one.
Sisters, I think?
I think so.
With the kids?
Yeah.
And she could tell he's kind of wanting to get her out of the house, but she's not going to put up to it because she thinks he's with her now.
Yeah. And he said, no, I'm just going to relax and play some golf all day long. Yeah. And
Art comes over wearing the...
Oh, he's all decked out.
Golf suit. Hey, Ray, look at my new golf club.
Yeah, we ready for nine holes today. Woo! He's all ready to go. He's, you think that would give it away because he's going overboard, but, that's his whole character.
I don't know. Art, you just expect that of him, I guess.
Yeah.
The guy walks around, with a rifle in people's backyards and no one really says anything. But, after that, they kind of, get back into their, fatigues. Rumsfeld's in full-blown
military gear. Yeah, he's got a big old scanner with the big antenna.
Right, he's got his array.
He goes, I can pick up military, the cops, and he can pick up everything on this thing. And he's got the siren mode, too. He goes,
That's right, yeah. Siren mode.
Yeah,
he's
going,
and the one who's least qualified to do this, Art, he's got like an electrician's outfit on. He's going to climb up the pole and cut off the power. to the Klopex house.
The electrical wires.
The fence,
yeah.
The electrical wires so they don't trip the alarm.
He's got his helmet on, his gear.
His gloves. He looks legit, but...
Yeah, he looks like he works for the Department of... Yeah,
I would trust him the least. And evidently, he doesn't work either. None of these guys have a job, because they're home all during this whole week.
Yeah.
And he goes up there, and he does... Clip a wire, he gets blown off the...
Oh.
And I love he falls in...
He goes...
Whose shed does he fall into? Is it the Klopex shed?
No, it's got to be Ray's because it's right next door.
And I love it's like an old cartoon because it's like a body shaped hole.
Yes,
I mean in real life it would just be he would just take the whole roof off, but it looks like his body when it flies through. So,
and he walks out even. His fingernails are all blackened.
Oh right!
And he touches the fillings of his teeth and
they're burning. That's great. That's right. I remember his fingernails. My fingernails are black.
But they do check the wires, and
he did it.
Hey, he did it. He did it. But Andy was fine, a million volt, whatever, how much electricity went through his body. But
and then I love how Ricky's just, he's not involved in it.
But he's watching, everything that's going on.
Rumsfeld, why does he climb out his window?
To get a better view.
He's got to get
a good view, so he crawls out the window.
He's climbing. I mean, instead of getting a ladder, he's got to climb out the window, climb up the house.
And he's got he's got a gun up there, too. A sniper gun. He's got a sniper rifle. Don't ask me who's going to shoot.
The neighbors are in on this.
Yeah.
And then this is getting to the
There's not another sign of anybody out there.
It's like just these six people living in this neighborhood.
Yeah.
And this is kinda
Ricky Butler's he's calling all his friends for a big old party.
Right,
he says, it's going to be the Haps, man.
The Haps. And then comes up the part that I remember. I don't know, because I've always said it before. It's just like part of my vernacular. Where he's like, Red Rover, let Ray go over.
And he looks back and he goes, good. Yeah. Red Rover, let Art go on over.
And he's happier than a fly on shit. Yeah. I mean, he's just so
funny. And he's sitting there eating his little animal crackers
on the roof.
He's just having a good old time, man.
And, so the plan is that, Ray and Art are going to dig up where these areas where they look like graves.
Right.
Art's not digging. He's laying in one of them.
Oh, he's a lazy.
Tom's doing, Tom Hanks' character's doing all the digging. And there's nothing.
They go, man, I think we've been digging here all day long, and there's nothing here. I think what they got is... inside the house.
Oh, that's right. They go, they must have dug the bodies up and took them in the house.
Probably in the basement. And he goes, and Ark goes, there's probably some food in there, too, or some cold beer.
Maybe they got a refrigerator or some cold beer. He's such a mooch. I love him.
Oh, he's great. And they're trying to break in, trying to see how they can get back in the house. He's pulling out credit cards. Like, that's
that's right. He's like, how do you know how to do it? I don't know how to do this. And he got the credit cards. That's a sucky store anyway.
So he just breaks the window.
Yeah, he just takes like a claw and smashes the window and they get in that way. But I like when Art goes to take his wallet out. He's like, give me a credit card. And all his wallet's like completely fused. Everything in his wallet's melted.
Everything fused together. Oh my
but
god!
But yeah, you know, he's walking, he's fine.
Oh, hey, there's nothing wrong with him. Yeah, he survived it. Just
right, so they
go on the movie.
I work today, guys. Sorry.
How dare you yawn?
I can't, man. I do 12-hour shifts, guys. What am I gonna do? I do this for you. And, right, so they find the base and start working their way down the basement.
There's rats going all around too. And
yeah,
stuff
there's
like
rats
that.
Down there.
But yeah, there's not a heater down there. There's a gigantic,
the biggest furnace, like an Ores style furnace. And yeah, I've seen furnaces like that before. I've helped take them out of basements before. They're massive, but this is a little bit bigger than what I.
Yeah, our goes is our furnace is supposed to go up to 5,000 degrees. And
right.
That's when Ray goes, well, it looks like this was just put in. They've manipulated this. There's new pipes
and stuff
going up there.
Right. The piping is new.
Yeah.
So, but they don't see, like, any other evidence really down there. So, and then Ricky Butler, he's got all his friends over. It's turning into a big party. They're gonna, it's the Haps.
Yeah.
And Rumsfeld's up there.
They're making a deep rum run.
Yeah. And you know, meatballs, you know.
And what does he do? He falls off the roof.
It is the best fall.
Oh my god!
It is the best fall.
And he was fine too. Nothing happened to him. But the rifle goes off too, and hits, and they're all clapping and stuff, and going, "Wow, man, this is the best, Ricky."
Right.
I mean, these kids are just loving it.
Something's gonna happen soon because I got to be at work in a couple hours, and that's when he falls.
Yeah.
But they fire up, you know, back in the basement, they fire this thing up, and there's flame shooting. I mean, this looks like a crematorium.
Crematorium.
You know, that's, you know, and that's what he's getting the idea. You know, he must have, you know, he burned them.
Yeah.
You know, the bones are in there.
That's where he sees all the soft dirt.
Right.
And they're like, this must be, this is where he found, dug the body and put it in. You know,
so they start digging up the basement floor.
Yeah.
And he goes nuts. I mean, he digs that floor up until he's hitting, like, water.
Yeah.
And,
It's muddy, everything
right.
like that.
And the cool thing is, you know, these neighbors, they're gone all day, so they've got the whole day in this house. I mean, it's a whole big thing. And,
Well, Art's hollering through the thing going, "We found him! We found him! We found the bodies!"
Right, because Tom Hanks' character says he hit something metal.
Yeah.
And they think they found something.
Yeah.
And,
It ends up being... Well,
now, at this point, don't we see where... Don't the Klopeks start coming back?
Yeah.
We see that they're coming back, but they stop because they can see something's going on. And they back up... I mean, it's like they completely drive in reverse.
Yeah, they turn the lights off,
street.
Back all the way up.
Right. And then we don't see them again for a while.
Yeah.
And then we see that Tom Hanks' wife, she ends up coming back. Right? Doesn't she come back?
Well, not till later.
He knows a little bit about me. It's Walter. Walter comes back. Ricky Butler's watching his car pull into Walter's driveway.
And Rumsfeld's on his roof.
Art's saying, "We got it, we got it, we found Walter."
Meantime, Walter's coming home.
Right, and he's getting out, he's got, you know, he doesn't have his wig on. He looks like he'd been sick.
Yeah.
I thought maybe he had a stroke or something.
Right.
Being like, what was it, like a small cardiac issue or
something.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, he's like, you know, there's Walter right there, he's back, he's back. And Tom Hanks is scared. He's digging in there. He's whacking on something, you know, a pipe. Is it like a gas pipe or something?
It's a gas pipe.
Gas pipe. He's covered up the radio so he can't, with dirt, so he can't hear what's going on. And
they smell the gas because Art goes running out. He goes, "Get out of here, get out of here. It's going to blow, it's going to blow."
And then, boom!
Yes, it just explodes.
Klopek's house explodes.
The Klopek's come with the coppers.
Right, the coppers are here. Right, so the kids, they're enjoying the hell out of it. I mean, the whole house blows up.
Yeah.
That big, like, lightning rod thing comes down right into the cop car.
Oh, yeah, and it's just Walter's watching out of his window.
But Tom Hanks' character's still in there.
Yes.
You know, everybody else had gotten out except Ray.
They thought he died.
And for a minute there.
No.
But then, you know, shortly after, we see him just kind of stumble. He's like one eye's all closed. And
puffed up. And,
right.
I love how he comes out and hits the steps, and he just slides down the steps.
It is awesome.
Shuffle.
When he comes out that house.
And the Klopeks are just pissed, you know, their house is burned down. And
well, because don't they mention something about their last house burnt down?
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, not again.
So now they're in pity, and this is where Carol
right, because they heard
up.
That the Klopeks' last house burnt to the ground.
Right.
And here's what happens.
Yeah.
And so, then Ray's wife kind of comes back. She, you know, the street's getting crowded, and Other neighbors are starting to come out to see what the commotion's all about.
Yeah, this is where you see all the neighbors.
Right, now we see all these people.
Now that everything explodes, they're not just peeking out the windows. They actually come out and see what's going on. And, they're on their bikes. Everybody's, it's,
right.
You know.
And that fast, the cops have it all cordoned off.
Yep.
There's ambulances there, cop cars, fire trucks, putting out the fire. Everything's going on.
And they're getting, you know, everybody's information on what happened and stuff like that.
His wife gets through the line there and sees, you know, Tom Hanks' character, Ray, sitting on a gurney. He's all bandaged up, his eyes like this. And, and he has this little moment where he kind of goes off. And you know...
Well, because Art's still going...
Right, Art's still going on and on.
He's still going. They think they fooled us,
right.
You know. And the coppers are saying... hey, we checked into these Kloppics.
He calls them the Kloppics.
Yeah, he's a well-respected
pathologist.
Doctor. Yeah. So, I mean, they think that they're clean, you know, the cops doing stuff like that.
Right.
So,
Tom Hanks kind of hears that, and he's like, you know, there's nothing wrong with them. It's us. And
This is
like when he's at his funniest here, I think. You know, we're the ones, you know, breaking into people's houses and digging up and blowing up their, catching their houses on fire and going through their garbage. And imagine the garbage is still on the street. And, you know, he's just going off that it's us. We're the weird ones. Not them. They're just a little different. But look at us. Look what we do.
Yeah, you know, we're the psychos. People in the burbs.
Right. So, I mean, you know, he's going off like that guy that they, you know, said, you know, iced his family. So
and Art just gets pissed, and how is that? So Ray runs at him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's kind of low,
and he bites his finger.
Yeah, it's because he's got his finger in a
splint.
Splint, like he broke his finger. But I mean, Tom Hanks' character is all messed up,
and that's when he just gets fed up, and he's like, "Oh man, I can't take this one. Somebody take me to the
hospital." I know, he's like, "I'm sick.
Somebody take me to the hospital."
No one does it. He picks up the gurney, throws it in the ambulance, and climbs.
Yeah, just
take me to the hospital.
He's on his belly, just laying there and stuff. And Carol's going, "You want me to follow you there?" "Yeah, just follow me there, whatever, you know."
"Take me to the hospital. I'm sick."
Meanwhile, the ambulance people and stuff, nobody's there.
No, nobody's doing anything. And so
you hear the doors shut and all that.
Right, so Hans, he gets behind the wheel.
Don't ask me how he got in there, but he got in there.
Dr. Klopek ends up in the back with him. They take off, and...
He starts talking to Ray, and he says...
"You think I'm stupid,
huh? You think I'm stupid, don't you?"
"Mm-hmm. You saw my skulls.
You saw my skulls, didn't you?"
Yeah, so we know.
He goes, "No, I know. I'm going to help you rebuild your house and pay for it."
"When I get out of prison, I'm going to help you rebuild your house."
"I've got the tools. Carol bought them for me.
Carol's father got me these new tools. This little toolbox. I've got the tools."
Yeah, but then the doctor pulls out a syringe.
Right, yeah, he's going to offer him.
He's shaking a little bit, too.
Right.
Turns
out it was all true.
Yes.
They were, you know, killing people. I don't know who they killed. Well, they'll show you. It ends up, you know, he reveals them that they killed the Knapps.
Yeah. Well, Hans peeks out because Ray wants to see who's driving. And that's when he starts taking off and they're driving on the lawn and everything like that.
And they crash into Art right in his front door.
Yeah.
And
the gurney thing comes run out like an old Little Rascals, Three Stooges or something like that.
Because
it's riding down the road, you know.
And they're both on it.
Bumping back and forth and stuff until they crash and hit the car, the Klopek's vehicle.
Right.
And the trunk just, boom, opens up.
That's right. Full bones.
And that's when they find out, because Ricky Butler goes here. Because
they said something, "We don't have any proof." And Ricky lifts up the blanket and is like, "You do now."
Yep.
And it's just full of bones, and it turns out that was the Knapps, the family that lived in the house before.
Yep.
You know, he said, you know, "We offered to buy the house from them, but, you know, they didn't want to leave," and so...
Yeah. And that ambulance crashed into Art's house.
Right.
And it started a fire and everything like that.
Right, his house is on fire.
But Rumsfeld sees... Art's
wife.
No, the young Hans.
Oh, yeah, give away.
He looks like Pinocchio.
Right. "Hey, Pinocchio!"
And so he calls him.
He's got him by the neck, and he's like, "Yeah, I can." What did he say?
He says, "Snap! I've been in a bush."
I've been in a bush.
"I can snap your neck and kill you in a minute."
Snap your neck in an instant.
Ray's
talking to the. I remember he's talking to the news people saying, "You know, people in the burbs, we're just not going to take it. We're coming for you. We're looking for you now." And I know his wife ends up showing back up, and someone says something like, "You know, "Hey, Art, your house is on fire and your wife's back." He's, "My wife's back!"
Yeah, not that the house is on fire, but the wife's back!
My wife's back!
Oh, my God.
And, Tom Hanks, Carrie Fisher, you know, they kind of resolve things right there on the road. All the chaos is still going on. And
Ricky Butler walks.
Yeah, they head back home, and Ricky Butler breaks the fourth barrier, looks at the camera and says, "You know, I love this neighborhood. I love this street.
I love the street." And that's when it ends.
Pulls away back out, you know, out in the nowhere. So,
yep. So
and I think Artie's even saying, "You know, you guys want to go get something to eat? You want to go get a taco or something?"
And this is when Ray finally says he's going to have a vacation.
I'm going on a vacation.
Yeah. You know, there was a part in the movie that we didn't talk about that was really one of my favorite parts of the movie, too.
What's that?
When Carol told Ray not to bother with them because they were conspiring and stuff. Mm-hmm. And Ray was up on, like, above the garage laying there.
Oh, I know.
And Rumsfeld
come over,
and they're dressed in shorts,
right?
Tennis like shoes. They look like little kids.
Like when you go to your friend's house and ask if so and so can play.
Yeah. Well, they say they do. Can Carol come comes out and they go, "Can Ray come out and play?" Or "Can Ray come out?" Doesn't say can play.
And then she's no.
And you can see Ray sitting in the back, laying on his little thing, yep. And then when she takes and pulls him away and. You could see the back of his head as she's pushing him in the house, and they're just put their hands in their pocket.
Right. And they even say something kick, like, "Oh, come on!"
They kick their feet, you know, and the scene ends.
That's right, just like kids. And then you could see these three as kids, man. You know, just
it was great.
Cool movie. Cool movie. I hadn't seen it in forever. You know, probably since, you know, like maybe 1990 or something like that. So long overdue, and I loved it. I laughed my butt off watching this movie.
Oh, this movie, like I said, this is my comfort movie, man.
Right.
Whenever
not necessarily one of our usual ones, but it definitely has some horror elements to it.
Yeah, I mean, it's more comedy.
And it's Joe Dante. He's established himself as a horror director, so
right.
I don't feel any, you know, bad about doing one of his movies. So.
No, it's awesome, man. I mean, it's If you want to see a good movie, that's one to get, man.
Right.
Get you laughing. And
he's right. Pretty much every scene, there's a laugh. There's a chuckle.
You've got
a smile on your face the whole time you're watching it. So it's a good comedy. I'm not a big... I love to laugh, but most comedies, especially modern ones, don't really, you know...
Right.
I like W.C. Fields and Laurel Hardy movies, but
this
really kind of... You know, I really like this because it totally reminds me of something I would love... to be involved in that. I would be one of those guys.
I'd
probably be the art guy. I don't know. Yeah, but
who would I be?
We'd both be.
Would I be Rumsfeld? Yeah, I might be art.
We don't have a military guy in our neighborhood. But,
yeah.
But, you know, every neighborhood's got one of those crazy guys.
Oh, can you imagine? I mean, that's what's sad about it. I mean, mm-hmm. I think I look at it and I go, why can't I have... be in a neighborhood like that, where
right? Why can't you have these, in my neighborhood?
These guys are just, you know, playing games and, you know, mm-hmm. conspiring stuff going on and all that. I mean,
Red Rover, let Ted go over.
Exactly. So. We could get walkie talkies and do our own little mission. I mean,
sure.
It could be done.
You guys want a mission? Let's go on a mission.
Oh man!
So I think that's it for tonight.
Yeah, I think next time next week we're going to do the original Poltergeist.
All right, so there's a remake coming out, and we'll touch on that. So
yeah, we'll go horror.
A remake
this
that
time.
I probably won't even go see.
You're not going to go see it, you don't think? No.
Why bother? I can just watch the old
one. Wait till it comes out on DVD. Or
there's so many of these movies. I don't even watch a lot of movies. I like old movies.
Yeah.
So I don't want.
No, I hear you.
The only thing I want to see is Mad Max, and I'm going to see it this week, guys. I'm going to try it. I'm going to see it this week.
Yeah, I'd be interested what you think of it. Yeah.
I'm sure it'll be great, so, because it's Mad Max.
Cool.
But next week, horror, and hopefully the week after that we'll get into something, you know, a little old and oldie but goodie again, too. So
yeah.
We got a whole list, lots of ones that we still want to go through. But let us know if you like it, if there's something you want us to do, and thanks for watching.
Yep. Until next time, everybody, and remember, just keep liking us and subscribe to us on YouTube
mm-hmm.
and iTunes and all the other good stuff. But anyways, till next time.